challenge in this. Some of us just need a challenge. Maybe we're growing complacent or just a little bit comfortable, and we just need to be shaken up a little bit for 2020. And so that's a little bit of both of us. And I think this text here does that. So we're going to open up to Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. It's on page 1145. This may be a familiar one. In fact, we went through Hebrews, this part of Hebrews, towards the end of 2018, and looked at this then. But I want to hold it up before us now in kind of a different light. And that's in light of our hopes and our expectations for 2020 and the year to come, but also in light of what we're looking at for the week of prayer and fasting together this week. Okay, that's what we're going to look at here together. So let me pray for us, and then we'll get into it. God, we welcome you here now by your Spirit to come and speak to our hearts and to transform us by your word. Speak to us through your word. Here we pray. God, we pray that this would not just be a talk or a Sunday morning, but this would be an encounter with you, the living God who speaks into our lives and transforms us because of who you are and your work in us of grace. I pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so just a reminder about Hebrews. The Bible doesn't really say, I want to give you a little bit of context first. So Hebrews as a letter, the Bible doesn't say who it's written to. It's not really clear about that. But what we can gather is that it's written to groups of Jewish converts who themselves were facing persecution or hardship of some kind, and they needed encouragement to keep going. And so it's a message for any of us today who might be discouraged in faith, either because of hard things that we're going through, that we're facing, or maybe doubts that we can't put behind us, or maybe just our confidence is shaken. It's a word to us for that. And before we read it, I want to just give you a sense of where this particular verse that's our theme for the week, where it sits in the text. So just look a little bit past the first few verses, if you're there, if you've got it in front of you, at verses 5 through 7. First thing you can expect as you keep reading is that following Jesus means enduring hardship. So he says, I want to give you this word of encouragement. This is in verse 5. Don't lose heart. Verse 6, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. Okay, verse 7, endure hardship as discipline. God's treating you as his children. So if you expect hard things, and you know that that may be the case, I want to encourage you. That's what the writer of Hebrews is saying. You can expect hard things partly because that's what God's doing to grow you. How many of you would look back at 2019 and say, do you know what? I had it easy. It all went perfectly fine. Everything was great, but I grew. No, actually, most of us would probably say, you know, in the tough things, in the adversity, in the challenges of 2019, God used it for my growth, for my good, and for his glory, to accomplish his purposes. So that's part of what we see as we look at this. Now let's look at the text just a little bit before Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3. If you look at chapter 11, what you get, we're not going to read it, but just I want to point to it because it's really key to understand the context of what we get to when we get to verse 1 of chapter 12. In chapter 11, you get examples of people living out faith and endurance. You get all these names. You get Abraham. You get Jacob, Moses, Rahab. Look at verse 32. It says, I don't even have time to tell you all of these names and these stories. It's the testimonies of faithful ones who've endured hard times because of their trust in God. That's what you get in chapter 11. So you get this great verse verse 35 and 36. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawn in two. So the message of chapter 11 is, look, friends, we are in good company. And look at verse 11 or verse 40 of chapter 11. God has something better for us. It's a promise that makes us even more perfect. It's a perfect promise, chapter 11, verse 40. And so you look at it just sort of like a year-end review. You know how at the end of 2019 you sort of look back over the diary and say, what happened in the year? You look ahead to 2020 and say, what's going to happen? That's a little bit of what we're doing now. We're just looking at this text and saying, here's what we can expect. What's coming as we look ahead in the future? It might be hard stuff, but it might be God using it for our good. He doesn't cause the hard stuff. Pay attention to that. He doesn't cause the hard stuff in our lives, but he can use it for our good and for his purposes. And then what's behind us, as we kind of look back at this text, what's behind us is God's faithful people enduring hardship because of their trust in God. Therefore, and that's chapter 12, verse 1. Let's look at it now together. I think it's up on the screen. We can look at it here. Yeah, therefore. And listen, please listen for both the challenge and the encouragement of this text today for this week. Therefore, since we are encouraged by such a great cloud of witnesses, Since we're surrounded, by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Now just look at the shape of this text here. Look at the end. What's this about? Verse 3. It's about enduring opposition without growing weary or losing heart. And the good news is, verse 1, we're surrounded by a great company, right? We've got a great cloud of witnesses. And what do we find right in the middle of it? Look at verse 2. This is the shape of the whole text. What do we find right in the middle of it? The joy of Jesus. We find the joy of Jesus right in the middle of it. We talked about joy during the Christmas season, didn't we? And you probably thought, okay, we're done with that now. We've put it away like all the Christmas stuff. No, we're going to just keep banging in on joy being found in Jesus, especially in enduring hardship and opposition. So let's look at this together. Just the theme of the week of prayer and fasting. First of all, this is a together thing. Did you see that? It says, let us, twice. In the very first verse, it says, let us. Let's throw off everything that hinders. Let's run the race that's before us. And friends, that just says, again, we've heard it this morning in the testimonies, we're in this together. We're in this because we care about the discipleship of one another, discipling one another, growing together in Christ. Let us together. This is a together thing. And so maybe just an encouragement or a challenge to you today, if you've been going it alone, if you've been trying to do this Christian walk alone by yourself, I want to encourage you, it might be time to say no more to isolation. That could be something you surrender for the week. You know, I've got to kind of give up being my own person, doing my own thing. I need to join in the company of friendship and discipleship with others in the faith. Let us do this together. It's a together thing, and also it's an active thing. Do you see that? We've got a couple of slides that just sort of show these images. So, Will, take us forward. It's a together thing. And it's an active thing. Let us together throw off everything that hinders. Now, this may not necessarily be the bad stuff that's holding you back. It could be the good stuff that's just become too much of the wrong kind of priority. Have you ever thought about that? The stuff that's holding you back, the stuff that's hindering you. And that's the stuff that we want to say. This is an opportunity this week to surrender. This is a week of not just prayer, but it's a week of fasting. So what will we give up? What can we throw off for the week that just says it's holding us back? Now, here's an example of what I'm talking about. I had a conversation with someone a few weeks ago where they just said, look, when I get up first thing in the morning, if I'm checking the sports results, that is a big hindrance to getting my time with God. Just getting on my phone and checking sports results. Might be for you your bank statement. Might be... it could be news. And I know if I wake up in the morning and I'm looking at news, that really takes me the wrong way in terms of whether I get into scripture, whether I spend time with God. I discovered this week that the average iPhone user picks up their phone 2,617 times a day. Now, don't reach for your phone and check and see if that's you. But by contrast, now this is from a book that I'm reading called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. Really good book. And a guy named John Mark Comer. He says this, by contrast, the psalmist says, I have set the Lord always before me. That's in Psalm 16, verses 8. And he asks himself, what would my life be like if God touched my mind as frequently as I touched my phone? There's a good challenge for the week or for 2020. So it may not necessarily be the good stuff that's holding us back, but it's just not helpful. So I want you, and I'm asking myself the same thing, to ask yourself right now, what is it that hinders me today in 2020? What is it that hinders me from believing, trusting, or obeying Jesus more? What is it that's holding me back? And maybe you're just thinking, oh man, I am just so busy. Or you're thinking, what's holding me back? I am just discouraged. Or you might just be thinking, I'm so tired. Now I know for me, the stuff that holds me back can be my negative habits of thinking. It can be my petty obsessions. Hebrews says, throw it off, leave it behind you, especially the stuff that's hindering you from fixing your eyes on Jesus and considering him. Just leave it behind. So the invitation this week, you guys, the invitation is to fast from it just for the week. You may not be able to give it up for the rest of your life, but try it for a week. What is it that's hindering you and holding you back? It also says the stuff that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Now, sin is when we fall short of what God wants for our lives. It's when we do wrong to ourselves or to others, or when we hold back from doing good. And so there's sin, but there's also entangling sin. That's what Hebrews is writing about. The way we substitute God for good things, when we believe that that's what's going to bring us comfort or fulfillment or meaning or peace or happiness. And you know what one word for that stuff is? It's idolatry. We don't use that word very often, do we? Because we think of idols and we think, oh, that's primitive people a long time ago worshiping, you know, a long time ago. And they would make them and that's them, right? But this stuff is the stuff for us today that sort of creeps back into our lives and slowly takes the place of what should be the central place of significance in our thoughts, in our feelings, and in our actions. Those are our idols today. So here's one way to identify, well, I don't know if I have idols. Here's one way to identify that you might have idols. It's the stuff that you just so easily slip back into, that just kind of creeps up on you. Some sin you fall into, Hebrews is saying, you know what, there's some sin that you just get entangled in. It creeps up on you and you just get sort of ensnared by it. I had a picture as I was thinking about this of a vine that used to grow on the outside wall of the house we used to live in, and it slowly made its way up from the ground and sort of over from the top, and then started to make its way into a window of ours, and it just invited itself into our house. It was basically to the point where we could barely shut the window because this vine just grew and entangled its way into our house. We'd cut it back, and it'd grow back in. We'd cut it back, and it would grow its way back in. This is the sin that so easily entangles. So an American pastor, Tim Keller, he writes this in a book about idolatry, which is super helpful, called Counterfeit Gods. He says this. He says, here then is the practical answer to our idolatries, which are not spiritually safe to have and to hold. We need to offer them up. He says, we need to find a way to keep from clutching them too tightly or of being enslaved to them. So what do we do with our idols? Hebrews says, we throw it off. We surrender it. And, you know, actually, this is a theme that we've been thinking and praying about over the last few weeks. And we want to bring this to you. So as the preaching team, over the next couple of months, really, we're going to address just what are the idols in our lives and look at how do we throw off and surrender and smash these idols that creep in and entangle us. So we're going to address that over the coming weeks, looking at idols of entertainment, of control, of self-reliance, of relationships. It's all coming your way, so keep coming back for more on idolatry. What do we do with this stuff that holds us back? We surrender it. That's what Hebrews says. We throw off the things that are holding us back. We abandon our idols, the things that we think we need in order to be fulfilled, but will actually only enslave us more and leave us less satisfied. All right, I've got an image just to put up on the screen here. This is over the holiday break. I've been reading a history book about the polar explorer Ernest Shackleton. Ever heard of him? He's trying to cross cross Antarctica on foot in 1915. You know, casual reading. I figure he had it pretty bad. It makes my life feel pretty good. So what happens is that early on in the voyage, his ship gets stuck in ice. And then eventually it gets crushed and it sinks. So the photo here is the ship kind of frozen in the ice during the time when they were able to get all the men and the sled dogs off. Just advance to the next one too. Get the sled dogs off the ship before it goes down. It's a really fascinating read to see Shackleton and his crew of 27 men go through the ordeal of trying to navigate the remaining 850 miles on foot or by sea to the nearest civilization. And at a critical moment before their ship actually goes down, which the ship's called the Endurance, funny enough, before it goes down, they have to decide what to throw off and what to keep, what to take with them on the remainder of the journey and what they need to leave behind. And so they ask themselves these questions. What do we need in order to endure to the end? And what's the stuff that's hindering us? What's the stuff that's holding us back that we just need to leave on the abandoned ship? So looking back at what we looked at so far with Hebrews, it's a together thing, it's an active thing, and it's also an ongoing thing. And so we want to run with perseverance, it says. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Where does perseverance come from, especially in the face of hardship and trial? Well, Scripture has a lot to say about this. Let's look at a couple of them from other places in Scripture. One that's up on the screen here is from James. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's running the race with perseverance that's marked out before us. There's another one here in Romans where Paul writes to the church in Rome. He says, as we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also glory in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So Scripture says, look, here's the reality. As a follower of Jesus, you can expect hard times, and you need to endure hard times. Run the race that's marked out for you. Let's do it together, and let's keep going. So this might be the point where you think, how do we do this? Like, how do I do this? And the writer of Hebrews keeps going and says, by fixing our eyes on Jesus. Don't fix your eyes on the problem. That's the big thing to remember here. Don't fix your eyes just on the problem. Now, I've got to be careful how I tell this story. Because I know a kid in a family, maybe mine, may not be mine, who found a particular person to be really, really annoying. And they actually decided to spend some time. They made a 10-page pamphlet with 10 reasons why this person was so annoying. And I thought to myself as I looked it through, wow, first of all, this would be really amazing dramatic reading sometime where they're much, much older and can handle the public shame. But I also thought, wow, 10 pages on why this person is super annoying. That is a lot of time and commitment and effort to spend on someone that you find difficult. That's fixing your eyes on the problem instead of the solution. So where do you fix your eyes? That's the question that Hebrews answers. And that's also another place where we can just identify idolatry. See, idolatry is where we've got our eyes fixed. Because where we fix our eyes is also where we kind of fix our hope, isn't it? And it's those hopes that then inevitably let us down when they're fixed in the wrong place. So here's another way to identify your idols. You want to identify your idols? Why don't you start to identify those places of your greatest disappointment? That might be where you begin to reveal places of idolatry in your life, where your eyes are fixed and your hope is fixed on anything other than Christ. How do we do it? Hebrews says, verse 2, run the race with endurance by fixing your eyes on Jesus. Now, here's the end of the Keller quote that I started earlier. It's just the very next sentence right after that. He says, we need to find a way, this is the part I read, to keep from clutching our idols too tightly or being enslaved to them. And we will never do so by mouthing abstractions about how great God is. We have to know, to be reassured, that God so loves, cherishes, and delights in us that we can rest our hearts in him for our significance and security and handle anything that happens in life. So here's what the Scottish minister Thomas Chalmers said about this in a famous sermon back in the 19th century. So this is not a new topic. This has been around for a while. He says, the only way to dispossess the heart of an old affection is by the expulsive power of a new one. Do you get that? He's saying, if you want to smash your idols, if you want to see transformation in your life, then you've got to surrender the old stuff by encountering something that's better. That's what he's saying. So try this, he says. Try every legitimate method of finding access to your hearts for the love of him who is greater than the world. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. You know what pioneers do? They go ahead of you and they prepare the way. Jesus goes ahead of us and prepares the way and he shows us how it's done. That's what pioneers do. And he's also not just the pioneer, but he's the perfecter of faith. That means he comes behind us and he finishes the task. I mean, that is amazing because it is a great business card. I wish my business card could say pioneer and perfecter. Not many of us can do both. Go ahead and finish the task. So fix your eyes on Jesus, the writer of Hebrews says. Not the things that hold you back. Don't fixate on them. In fact, you can just throw that stuff out. And don't fixate on the sin that entangles you. It's time to surrender your idols and fix your eyes on the pioneer and perfecter of faith. Now, why? Why fix our eyes on him? How did he do it? How did he go before us and finish the job? See, Jesus did the same thing. He endured hardship with his eyes fixed on the prize of the relationship that he had with his Father. What did he do? For the joy set before him, Hebrews writes, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross. He endured the punishment of torture and death that we deserved. He took the stuff that hinders us, the stuff that so easily entangles us, those idols and obsessions that creep back into our lives so easily. He took those things to the cross and he smashed them to pieces. Here's what the Bible has to say about that. This is from Colossians chapter 2. I think you've got it on the screen. It says, when you were dead in your sins, God made you alive in Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He's taken it away, nailing it to the cross. And having disarmed the powers and authorities, that's our idols right there. Having disarmed them, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. Jesus not only endured the cross, but he scorned the sin and the shame of it. Friends, that is the good news. Fix your eyes on that. Fix your eyes on Jesus, the one who took all of that to the cross and made a spectacle of it in defeat. He considered it a joy, a future joy, his joy and delight of presence with the Father, sitting down at the right hand of the throne of God, the fullness of joy, not only in death and bringing life, but Jesus rules and he reigns over all the details of our lives, our greatest joys and our greatest sorrows. And some of us just need to know that for 2020, that Jesus is king on the throne, that he has endured the worst of what you are facing right now. He's endured it and worse. That's the message that Hebrews says. Keep your eyes fixed on him. He knows the hardship that you face. He knows it and worse. But he went ahead of you. He prepared the way. And he finishes the job. So that's surrender to encounter. Take a look at the shape of Jesus' path here. He surrenders to the cross, and then he's seated close to the throne. And that gives meaning. It should give meaning to our suffering and the call to endurance. So this is my invitation to you and your invitation to this week. First of all, if you have never given your life to Christ in faith, let me just encourage you, this could be the time, this week, now, to start a new way. And we'd love to have a conversation with you about that, to pray with you. Let me invite you, today could be the day for you to surrender your life, the whole of your life, to Christ and to walk with him in obedience. And if you're already following Jesus, can I just encourage you, as the writer of Hebrews says, to consider him again, to consider Jesus. What does it really mean to consider something? It means that you turn it over in your mind, right? You look at it a few times. You keep coming back to it, and you weigh it against other things, and you talk it over with someone, maybe. Consider him, brothers and sisters, not just a glance or a nod, but your full consideration. Can I just encourage all of us, Good Shepherd Mission, for this week? This could be your charge for 2020. It could be your assignment for the week of prayer and fasting, to consider again Jesus Christ and to give him your full and uninterrupted consideration, to fix your eyes on him again. That's encounter. That's encounter. And let me just ask you then, what do you need to surrender for that to encounter? For that encounter with Christ, for that to happen. Let me encourage us then, just as we look at this, to consider him, verse 3, who endured such opposition from sinners so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. Friends, how do we live this out in the coming week and in the coming year? If there's stuff that's holding you back, stuff that you're entangled in, surrender it now. Just lay it down. Throw it off. And if you might be saying to yourself, you know, I just don't know if I can do this, let me encourage you, you're surrounded by people who are in it with you and care about this, and we're willing and ready to help. You're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, and we're here. And that's what we want to be about. And if you're just feeling weary and worn out, let me just encourage you again, brother, sister, consider him. Consider him who endured this and worse. Friends, how do we fix our eyes on Jesus in the coming year? Let me encourage us again to look at Scripture. Just look at the faithfulness of God in Scripture. To share the testimonies that, like we've heard this morning, and to celebrate all that God's doing in our midst with one another. To get into discipleship relationships with one another. To get back into home group and to be a part of growing together in a smaller setting beyond just Sunday morning. That is a great way to fix your eyes on Jesus. Let me encourage you to spend time with him. This week, set something aside out of your diary, out of your schedule, and spend time again with him. Come and pray with people. Come and worship with people through the week of prayer and fasting, what we have scheduled. Do it on your own. Come and use the space here to engage on your own, to fix your eyes on him again. Listen, friends, I know that we can do this. I see this in our church already. I see what it means for us as a people. I've seen how many of you have endured hardship in this past year. You've suffered loss. You've suffered a lot of transition. We talked about that. You're facing challenges and more challenges coming your way. And many of you have been living with deep uncertainty in both your family or at a national political level. Lots going on. But I also hope you can see it in me and in my fellow leaders here at Good Shepherd Mission. I hope you can see that we seek to fix our eyes on him and to throw off the stuff that gets us entangled. I want to ask you to pray for me and to pray for us as we do that, as we continue to do that. And we want to continue to pray for you as well. That's really our invitation and our challenge for this coming week and this coming year, that all of us would continue to surrender the stuff holding us back to encounter more of God. Let me pray for us. As we continue, God, we thank you for the encouragement and challenge of your word. We ask that you would make it true of us, that a year from now we'd share testimonies of what we have surrendered, of breaking free and smashing the idols of our lives that are holding us back, that we're entangled in. Lord, I pray for a year from now and even sooner, testimonies of genuine encounter with you that transform us and make us a people that are compelled on mission to the community around us, the way we've shared this morning. God, would you continue that work that you've done? Thank you, Jesus, that you have gone before us, that you endured the cross for our sake. Thank you that you pioneered this way into this new year and that you perfect it in us. And so, God, would you continue to grow us, change us, and transform us? By your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.